call to worship this morning. Excuse me, is from the end of Acts chapter 2, late in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, beginning in verse 36. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Brothers and sisters, these thousands that repented and trusted in the Lord were approximately 50 days earlier yelling, crucify him. And so what an amazing display of God's mercy that he would show them, grant them repentance to turn to him, the living and true God. And we're in the same boat. If I'm honest, 50 days before this, I probably would have been holler and crucify him also. And the Lord has shown such great mercy through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let's worship him today. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you that you have called us your own. Lord, we're not worthy to be called yours except in Christ. And in Christ, we are sons and daughters, and we stand amazed. And so, Lord, please help us to worship you, to give you the praise and honor that you are due. Lord, come and meet with us, we ask, by your Spirit. Cover our even our highest praise with the blood of Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Please turn with me. I hope we have enough psalters to go around. In the book of Psalms for singing, turn with me to Psalm 18a. 18a, and stand with me if you're able. Turn with me to page 789 in the back of your hymnal, and we'll recite a portion of Psalm 18 that we just sang. We'll recite verses 25 to 36, and while you're turning there, the certain versions in verse 25, this is in the back of your hymnal, says to the faithful, but certain versions say to the merciful, you show yourself merciful. And this worship today is focused on the mercies of God, because the beatitude that we're learning about today is blessed are the merciful. I'll read the fine print and we can read the bold print together. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. But to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You save the humble, but bring low those whose eyes are haughty. You, O Lord, keep my lamp burning. My God turns my darkness into light. With your help I can advance against the truth. With my God, I can scale the wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can mend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. Amen. Please be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that we again can come to you as your little children, chosen by you before the foundation of the world, adopted into your heavenly family through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we can come to you and acknowledge our sin and not be consumed. And so, Lord, we admit that we haven't shown mercy, especially the mercy that you have shown us, Lord. And so please forgive us and help us to be merciful, to be kind, Lord, to be cognizant of the fact that we would be consumed in a moment if it weren't for the blood of Jesus covering our sin and his righteousness being placed upon us like a robe, a pure robe. And so, Lord, thank you that there is forgiveness. Lord, we acknowledge that we haven't mourned over our sin as we should. Lord, we haven't hungered and thirsted for righteousness as we should. We haven't done any of these beatitudes or any of your commandments as we should. And so, Lord, we cry out for mercy. And, Lord, you have told us that your mercies are new every morning. And you've told us that they never end. And so we plead this. For Jesus' sake, we ask that you would forgive us, lead us to repentance, help us to walk in repentance and to bring forth the fruit of righteousness, all by your Spirit working in us. And how we praise you that you have promised to do this, to conform us into your image so that we have hope in Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness this morning is from Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Brothers and sisters, the mercies of the Lord are amazing. And this passage reminds us that even in the Old Testament system, it wasn't about the external things. It was always about the heart. Rend your hearts. Pour your heart out before the Lord. Cry out to Him. And anyone who runs to Jesus will not be disappointed. Amen?
Amen.
Everyone should have an insert in your bulletin. And stand with me and let's sing praise. Let's sing about the Lord's great mercies. Thank you for the love that you have lavished upon us that we would be called sons of yours. Lord, thank you that you have called us out of utter darkness and brought us into your marvelous light. Lord, thank you for the promise that we read is not just to us but to our children and to those after us, all who you will call to yourself, Lord. Thank you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us, that as we were called, that you would sustain us in the faith that is a gift from you, that you would help us to walk in the light as children of light. Holy Spirit, please enable us to walk in your commandments, to walk in your ways, and that they would be a joy to us and not a burden. Lord, we don't want to obey your commandments for merit. Our only merit is in the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ. And yet, if we are yours, then we will bring forth the fruit of righteousness, even if it's in seed form, Lord. Help us to not despise the day of small beginnings in one another. I pray, Lord, that you would build us up in this most holy faith that you have granted to us. Lord, we've asked already, but please forgive us for our sins and the failings that we have, Lord, and wash us clean in the blood of Jesus. Lord, we want this for ourselves, for our children, for those, our friends and neighbors who may not know you. Lord, help us to be humble and bold to speak the truth in love to our neighbors. Lord, to be willing to stand for truth and righteousness in the midst of this perverse generation in which we find ourselves, Lord. Help us to be willing to speak when we need to speak, and to be wise. Wise as serpents and as innocent as doves, Lord, to proclaim the truth of your word. Lord, we ask your blessings upon Pastor Thornton as he opens your word from Matthew chapter 5 this morning. Please bless his studies throughout this past week. Lord, come and preach through him and preach to us, Lord. Would you, by your Spirit, penetrate our hearts? Lord, we can't encounter you and your word without being changed, so please conform us into the image of your Son. Lord, we pray for those who are not able to be here. We think of Brother Joe, who's traveling. Pray that you would sustain him, bless him, particularly with the health problems, and then his family. Have mercy on them, Lord. Bring gospel salve to their broken hearts, we pray. Lord, we praise you for this full room this morning, and we ask your blessings upon each of these families. Lord, again, penetrate our hearts with gospel truth. And Holy Spirit, give us gospel, humble, joyful obedience. Lord, we ask that you would fulfill your promise to build your church as you have told us. Lord, you've said that the gates of hell will not prevail against her. So give us confidence and trust in you that you will do what you've said. Lord, it doesn't seem like it in our culture. And yet, Lord, we ask that you would please spark a revival in the hearts first of your people, even in our hearts, Lord, and that you would stir up revival throughout our land, that people would turn to you away from all the junk and the emptiness that's like drinking sand to quench the thirst. Lord, only you offer the living water after which no one will thirst again. Lord, we praise you and ask your blessings upon us as we continue to worship you now. In Jesus' name, amen. For our Old Testament reading, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 58. And I'll read verses 6 through 13, I think. 6 through 13. Please follow along with your careful attention to God's very word. Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh, or your own brethren? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light arise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Please turn with me, if you would, to hymn 527. For those of you who were here a couple weeks ago, we sang this. We felt like it was appropriate to sing it again since it's entitled The Beatitudes. Stand with me if you're able.
Let us start the light. Okay, kids, Beatitudes is a word we use much in normal conversation, but it means blessings and cause for happiness. These are all called the Beatitudes. He taught them saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they should be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all sorts of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for like you they persecuted the prophets who came before.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see everybody. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, your spirit. Lord, thank you for your commitment to your people, your love, your mercy, your dedication, your faithfulness, your keeping of your people. Lord, thank you, and we praise you. Bless us now as we look into your word. Be with us. Help us to understand, to apply, and to glorify you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we've come to this beatitude, and I liked what Spurgeon said this past week. I was reading him on the Beatitudes. He said they're like a golden ladder. It starts out poor in spirit. And we realize our need. We realize our sin. We realize that we need Christ to pay the penalty that we cannot pay. And that's a blessing to know that He paid it. And then, just moving right on down through the Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn. And we mourn over our sin. And we don't like it. Why don't we like it? Because of the new birth. Because of regeneration. Because of our union with Christ. And it grieves us. And then blessed are the gentle or the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And now today, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And I want to encourage you to look in the bulletin there to the outline, the questions. Do I understand the concepts of mercy and blessing? Number two, do I know biblical examples of mercy and get help from them? And three, am I enjoying God's mercy and blessings in everyday life? So please, think about those. But when it comes to mercy, we think about needs. The needs that people have around us. It might be that they're lonely. It may be that they're being ravaged by the devil, and he's attacking them and their families and their work and their just anything and everything that he can do. It could be that they're struggling with guilt or hunger or a need of clothing, blankets. Mercy has to do with meeting needs. And it's needs of the undeserving. You know, we don't deserve anything at God's hand except judgment. But praise God for His mercy. And that He has not dealt with us according to what we deserve, but Christ came and died for our sins and rose again from the dead. Praise the Lord. You know, one of my favorite passages is in Exodus 33 and then in 34. After the idolatry on the mountain, Mount Sinai, when he received the Ten Commandments, and he comes down, and what are they doing? Worshiping a calf. Idolatry. And it's outrageous. and he's all upset. And he says to the Lord in chapter 33, 18 to 23, please show me your glory. And he said, the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my name. And he does that, doesn't he? And what's the name? The Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face. For man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not see. And then in 34, starting in verse 5, where it actually happens, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God of merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love and faithfulness to thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generations. And Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshiped. Well, I love that because mercy is part of who God is. You know, that's part of God's makeup. That's part of his character. It's one of the attributes of God. And so the Christian who has Christ and the Holy Spirit in them is going to display mercy. It's a wonderful truth. So that's why it says here, and many people have misunderstood this, because it says here, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Some people get the mistaken idea that, okay, I'm going to have to show mercy, and then for my salvation, then God will show mercy to me. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. You see, we have to employ what we call the rule of faith here. We have to interpret Scripture in the context of all Scripture. And if that were the case, if that incorrect understanding were the case, there goes grace. Salvation wouldn't be by grace, it would be by works. So we interpret Scripture, we call it the rule of faith, in the light of all Scripture. And it was very clear that salvation is not by works. So what this basically is telling us, that if you are a Christian, you will show mercy. Why? Well, for one thing, you're united with Christ. And you're going to show mercy. And where are you going to show mercy? Well, where do you see a need? Do you need to forgive somebody in your circle of influence, in your family, in your job? Do you need to forgive somebody? Now, there is an incorrect mercy that we need to be aware of. For instance, when Saul, King Saul of Israel, let Agag go, that was inappropriate. He was the king of Israel, and he had been instructed to destroy Agag and his people. That was his duty. Another misguided mercy, sort of, was when King David wanted his rebellious son Absalom, who was trying to overthrow the kingdom, David wanted him spared. That's inappropriate mercy. But what about appropriate mercy? The biblical examples, some of them, I can't go into all of them in this limited amount of time, but some of them we need to think about. And have you ever considered the fact that in the genealogy of Jesus, not one woman is mentioned who was a stellar example of morality? These women, first Tamar, there's a story about her. Not very good. Rahab the harlot from Jericho. Ruth, now Ruth was probably more respectable than some of these, but she was a Moabitess whose generation came about by incest, and she would have been an idolater. Very serious sin. Then there's Bathsheba, David's adulteress. But isn't it interesting that the Lord chose these repenting sinners out of whose loins Christ would come? Now, when I say out of his loins Christ would come, what am I saying? Well, you know, I think of my dad in World War II. In one sense, I was there. I wasn't born yet, but in one sense, I was there in that I was in his DNA, you know? And if he had perished in the war, I wouldn't be here today. So in some sense, I was there, okay? Now, Christ, in the human nature, through these women and through the other people in his genealogy here, he came in his human nature. And so he chose these women to come through. Now, why? Why would he do this? So that we would know that we can come to Christ for salvation. Because I was kind of relieved to find in my studies this week something that I experienced as a new Christian. And that was, I was like, how in the world can God forgive me? I'm not so sure God can forgive me. I'm sure he forgives a lot of people, but me, as bad as I've been? Well, I read the other day, that's kind of a common experience of Christians, and they feel like, how could God forgive me? We become so aware of our sin and feel so bad about it. But hopefully it makes us appreciate God's mercy even more. Now, when I talk like this, I'm always afraid that somebody's going to say, well, the preacher says, you know, you can just sin, and everything's going to be all right. So I do want to read you this passage from James. And, you know, we've got to get this thing stopped. It's definitely a distraction. It comes right at a very important moment in the sermon that I don't want anybody to miss. And so maybe the prince of the power of the air has something to do with this. I don't know. But I know the Lord is watching over us and he's greater. But here's, now remember the context here before the distraction. My fear sometimes when I preach the grace of God and the mercy of God is that somebody, and especially a young person, might be listening and think, well, sin's not all that serious. You know, God forgives it, and we all sin. But listen to this. From James chapter 2, verse 13, for judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Now, underline that in your mind. Judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. Now, mercy is kind of hard to show sometimes, no doubt. I mean, I have felt very guilty and convicted about my own neighborhood. You know, I think of my neighborhood and I think of probably so many lost people. I gave the gospel tract to the lady that lives directly across the street from us, and she moved. She didn't seem too pleased. Then I stopped this guy that walks his dog, and he's got dreadlocks, you know, and prayed for him, and he cussed me out when I gave him a tract. He still speaks to me that. But a guy across the street, a little bit catty-cornered, disappeared. I mean, to me. His car didn't move anymore. Matter of fact, there's a vine growing up out of the front of his car now. I just noticed it last week. And so I've been convicted. You know, I never talked to the guy. He seems extremely private, extremely lonely, or at least private. And so I've been under conviction. You know, I never talked to him. He could be dead now. I don't know what's happened to him. I mean, No lights, car didn't move, he used to go to work, you know. He would never wave at you or anything, never look at you. But anyway, I saw a car coming out of those, it's a little building with four apartments. I saw a car coming, I thought it was a guy that lived upstairs. I said, wait a minute. And I started walking towards his car, you know, and it's like this, and the wind came. It was the guy in a different car. And I said, oh, it's you. I said, I wondered where you were. I thought you were the guy that lives upstairs. I was going to ask him if he knew what happened to you. And I said, I've been praying for you. And he said, well, I've been on vacation with my mom, and work has been very difficult. And I said, well, I just want to make sure you're all right, and I won't keep you. And I thought I should ask him about work, but I'm going to ask him that later. But I walked about 15 yards, and I turned around and looked, and he was weeping. Praise the Lord. You know, some people just need to know that they're cared for. Spurgeon tells a story of this guy was passing out gospel tracts over in the UK, and soldiers were taking them. Well, there was one soldier who was very hostile towards Christianity, and he took the tract and tore it up right in front of Mr. Neal's face. And then another time, you know, this guy must have had a lot of influence. He told a lot of soldiers to surround this guy. And so they surrounded him, you know. And this guy started belligerently letting him have it. Well, Mr. Neal burst into tears. He burst into tears because of what was being said and how lost this guy was to be saved. Well, years later, this guy came to Christ. And he said, I never could get over those tears. You know, his heart was very hard. He wasn't affected by the Word of God, but the Lord used those tears and the Word to bring him to salvation. You know, David, continuing on this theme of these examples in the Bible, man after God's own heart, but very notorious for murder and adultery, and the murder in particular of Uriah, a godly man, who had a sense of caring about the condition of the church and the nation where he was a member. David defiled his bed, he polluted his soul with drunkenness, he laid snares for his life while he was entertaining him in the palace. He had him write to the commander to put this guy up against the wall where he's going to get killed. And then David had the audacity to blame the providence of God at the end, after Uriah was dead. Now this man is an example of mercy being shown. God showed mercy. Why? On such a notorious character as David. So that we could all have hope. So that we could know, you know, God saves sinners. Somebody pointed out that when Christ was in the manger, the Magi were converted. They would have been idolaters, stargazers, astrologers. And here they come and worship Jesus. God was at work. Jesus went to Egypt where they worshipped oxen, crocodiles, cats, even garlic, evil spirits. That's where Jesus went. You know, he didn't go to some very nice Christian community. Not that there was one, but he goes where the need was. He goes to Egypt. Very wicked and dark place. Who did he preach to? Charnock says, and I can blame it on Charnock since we've got Navy people here, but he says he preached to the seamen, who were usually the rudest and most debauched sort of men. Well, thankfully ours aren't like that. But you've heard the expression, cuts us like a sailor, right? So he preached to these seamen, these sailors. He had mercy to call sinners to repentance. And he usually delighted to choose not the cream of the crop, but sort of the bottom rung on the ladder. Tax gatherers. The first woman that he appeared to after the resurrection, he had cast out seven devils from her. Can you imagine? Now, there's a community over there by Boone, North Carolina called Seven Devils. And I always kind of feel ick when I drive through there. But Jesus had cast out seven devils from this woman that he appeared to right after the resurrection. Well, why her? Well, he's showing his mercy. And then in John 4, the woman at the well, Charnock calls her a harlot, an idolater. The Samaritans had mixed worship, kind of a loosey-goosey type of religion, hateful to the Jews. She was continuing in her adultery, and he makes her a monument of his grace. And she goes back into town and she says, "Is not this the Christ? Come see a man which told me all things." Well, let me ask you this. As you are showing mercy, and I trust you are you experiencing the blessing that is here talked about in this passage? What does it say? What's the promise here? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And if this is not salvation, because salvation is not by works, what is this? Well, this is that he rewards. He rewards. And he gives mercy. As we show mercy, he gives mercy. Not for salvation. It's just part of the blessing of being a follower of Christ. So, you know, the feelings are overdone in our culture today. I don't feel like forgiving. Well, we need to do it anyway. We need to be not held captive by our emotions and our feelings. If we need to do something, then we need to ask the Lord for His help and do it. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall find mercy. If it was otherwise, it would be blessed are the merciful, for they shall find justice. If we were earning our salvation and our showing mercy was buying our salvation, then that would be justice. See, mercy is undeserved. So when He shows us mercy, it's undeserved, and it's just a reward, it's a blessing. Not to earn salvation. Now, I gave you a warning from James chapter 2:13 that if we are merciless, God's just going to show us judgment. How does that play into all this? Well, if you are a Christian, you will be merciful. It may be just a little at times. Especially among the children. But we will show mercy as Christians. This is the way the Lord works. Oh, I'll tell you, there's a lot of examples that I'm not going to go into in the Old Testament about when they didn't show mercy and what the Lord did to them too. It's not a pretty picture. So, are you experiencing God's mercy? You know, we can kind of work backwards. If we feel like we're not experiencing God's mercy, then we need to ask ourselves, Have I received His mercy? Have I received His salvation? If I'm not willing to forgive, then maybe I haven't been forgiven. Most likely. And it calls for self-examination. Now, as we show compassion and mercy on other people, they will wonder, why is this person concerned about me? Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank You that You have shown mercy to us in Christ. And Lord, we didn't deserve His death on the cross for us. Matter of fact, He came because we didn't deserve it. Lord, we are poor in spirit when we think about this. We do mourn and grieve over our sinful condition and look forward to the day when we will be completely sanctified in heaven. But Lord, help us to look at people today who don't know You. Are people who need a hand or need forgiveness or need a friend. And Lord, help us to show mercy and to be looking for the rewards and to be thankful for the mercy that You show us. And thank You that Your word says Your mercies are new every morning. I like that there, Lord, is a fresh delivery every morning of mercy because we need it. And we thank You that in mercy, we're not trying to earn Your mercy. That's impossible. But, Lord, You are merciful. It's part of who You are. And we praise You and glorify You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, we're reminded of God's mercy right here in the Lord's Supper. The mercy of the cross, the mercy of His death upon the cross for our sins. Heavenly Father, we pray that You would take these ordinary elements and set them apart for a few minutes, Lord, for Your sign and seal of the Lord's Supper. The nourishment, Lord, may we be nourished spiritually as we think about our wonderful Savior. Bless now, we pray, in Jesus' name. So the fencing is on the back of the bulletin. We ask that you examine yourself. We ask that if you're a child and have not been admitted to the Lord's table, that you learn by observation today. But on the night in which He was betrayed, He took bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is My body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And we'll partake of this together. Scripture says He bore our sins in His body on the tree, on the cross. Not His own sin, but the sins of His people. So He took bread and He broke it and He said, "This is My body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let's partake of it together. In the same way, He took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And we'll partake of this together also. Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And it's talking about the blood of Christ. That's how we get forgiveness, through Him. Not by trying to be good enough. Faith in Him. You know, you think about mercy, you think about Sarah, Abraham's wife. I noticed that scripture this week that said Abraham looked at himself as good as dead because he was so old and Sarah was so old. How could they ever have a baby? Why did God do it that way? Because He wanted people to know it was according to the promise, not according to nature. According to promise. That's how God works. The blood of Christ. Let's partake of it together. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for how You've provided for us. All the good gifts You've given us to enjoy. All the skills that we have employed in work. All the investments. All the income comes from You. Lord, we give You praise and thanksgiving. Thank You for the gift of life. Lord, we would return a portion to You for the furtherance of Your gospel. In mercy, we want to be lights to this community, to this world, by portraying the Christian life and by proclaiming the message of the gospel in the Bible. Bless now, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen.
And sing the doxology again.
Of the Holy Spirit be with us all both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And now let me pray for the meal that we're about to have. Everybody's invited to stay and urged and welcome. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, thank You for the food that has been provided here for us to eat and fellowship around. Pray that You would bless this food and bless the fellowship. Thank You for those who have prepared food and brought it. Bless now, we pray. In Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we like for visitors to go first, so visitors, come to the head of the line, please.
As soon as
it's
ready.
A little bit more ready.
What?
Oh, okay.
Thanks so much.
That is a lot of cheese. Can you move that?
Yes. Exactly. It's always there.
So your collar
is the biggest candle.
He's
gambling everything. Cover crop, what was that?
Thank you.